that about the singing and so forth, and I really appreciate it. And that's one thing that we should do when we sing, come together on the Lord's Day so everybody can sing. As was pointed out to us in that lesson, every child of God is to sing. So we want to sing songs, praise the Lord. We've had a good prayer. I appreciate it very much. And I'll need God's help and God's wisdom this morning. I know that in eternity and the day of judgment, I'll have to give an account for the things that I teach. I've chosen to teach here about the Apostle Paul's warnings to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 4:14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Stop and think about that for a moment. This is to children of God. This is to Christians. This is to the church at Corinth. We find further that also that it's to all. Now, these teachings apply to the church today. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place. That's Edmond, Oklahoma. Every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, out of his love to them as children, he wants to bring the truth to their minds and let them see what they really are in contrast to what they imagine themselves to be. You remember in this letter, he said, you say we're rich, we increased, we have everything. They thought that of themselves. But Paul told them now that he wanted here to call their to their mind. And so today that is to us. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at this epistle, and we're just going to point out some things. I'll not spend too much time on each point, but the things in here that really caught my eye and really struck me after I studied them for a short while. Now, the first thing that he called their mind was found in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and verses 10 through 12. That is, that they had divisions. Now, that's not out in the denominational world. I wasn't talking about that. He was talking about in the church. And I want to point out also here that he wasn't talking about doctrinal differences. He wasn't talking about that. But he's talking about those things within themselves. Now, notice what he said. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, people today say, well, we look at it different. We have different minds and so forth. Now, I want to point this out. When we talk about the doctrine of Christ, when we talk about the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches, we cannot have separate minds of what it is. We'll have the same mind. Because Paul here, I said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, that's the reason this morning that we can worship God in spirit and in truth, because we're of the same mind, same judgment as to how we're seeing, because we have the nine scriptures. How we should teach, because we have over 100 examples, where it's one speaker at a time. How to observe the Lord's Supper, we have all that. So he points that fact out to us and tells us to be of the same mind. Now notice, for it had been declared me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Now there was that division. Paul had come. Paul had not sought after followers. I don't believe Apollos had sought after followers. I don't believe it's Cephas or Peter had sought after Apollos, and here they had sought that they might follow him. But Christ, of course, were to follow him. But there were some now that was not following Christ in the correct way. That is, following his teaching and so forth. So we see there were divisions there. Now, Paul was an apostle. They respect him for that. Evidently, Apollos was a very eloquent speaker. The scripture says he was. And he could speak very well. And, of course, there was Peter who had been one of the apostles and one of the spokesmen and preached the sermon on the day of Pentecost and so forth. So there was divisions among them. Well, don't we see that today somewhat? We don't have any division here that I know of, but there is in the group that we are affiliated with that we all worship this morning as we do. There's no doubt there that there's feelings among those people. But Paul says now, let there be no divisions among you. Now let's notice number two, what he tells them, and that is about worldly wisdom. He tells them now about this worldly wisdom in verse 19, chapter 1, for it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the beauty of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What is the worldly wisdom? The worldly wisdom is that the simple preaching of the gospel, as we all teach it, as we all believe it, and so forth, that is foolishness. They've come up with their great speakers, with their eloquent speakers, with all due respect to those people as men and so forth. Oftentimes they are looked up to, great and so forth. I really sympathize with Billy Graham over the loss of his wife, who he's lived with a number of years. They're talking about it now, that he will be the evangelist of the age. Worldly wisdom. You read his writings. Worldly wisdom. What man thinks. How man looks at it. God looks at it different. God looks at it a different way. He looks at it not that way. So these men are full of worldly wisdom. What divided the church years ago? Worldly wisdom. What caused the Roman Catholic Church to nearly take it over and so forth? Worldly wisdom. Had men. They put above God, above Christ. But you and I today, from that spiritual wisdom, from spiritual guidance, from that which is spiritual, we can look at that wisdom of God, and we can know exactly what to do. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Well, what was it? It was worldly wisdom. I can remember when I was preaching full time, I'd talk about 250 different denominations. And that's been within the last 55 years or so. I've been preaching going on 57 years all the time. I held meetings everywhere and so forth. I'd talk about 250. You know how many there are today? They say there's over 1,300. Where'd that come from? Is that the wisdom of God? No. And we'll notice a little more about that later. Okay, let's go to our next point. In chapter 3, he points out something else to them, that they're carnally minded. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet nor now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? We talk peace here. We strive for peace. We work for peace. We strive for that. Now, Paul said, I could speak to you as spiritual. Why? You've got a carnal mind. You won't accept it. You want it your way, and so forth. You're just like babes in Christ. Been established several years. Yeah, been there several years. I fed you with milk. That's those simple things. You know, a lot of people, they want to hear baptism every Sunday morning. Yeah, you'd be surprised people won't just hear the first principle. They don't want to hear those things apply to them. Why? Carnal mind? Carnal mind? Spiritual mind wants to hear those things to build us up. Those things do that. And so he's fed them with that. They're not able to bear it. And I'll tell you what, there are many people, when you preach the truth to them, they'll never come back. And the closer you are to the truth, the less people you'll have. Now, that's just something that's just that way. And God didn't make it that way, but that's the way it is. Now, why? They have envy. They have strife. They have division. When they do that, they're carnal and walk as men. And help us to continue to pray for unity, continue to study the Word of God, continue to strive to get along and be peaceful among ourselves. Well, let's notice next, number 4. High-minded. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. He's using a little irony, isn't he? Oh, you're rich, you're full, you're reigning as kings without us, without we apostles. And I would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. He's using a little irony there. I'll tell you, folks, when we think that we can get along without God, when we think that we can get along without his word, and when we think that we can do what we want to, we've come to this group right here. We've become high-minded. And I'll tell you what, we've got some people out here in this old world, and we've got some here that they're so far up in this old world, and they're so enwrapped in it. I'll tell you one thing, they wouldn't be caught here. Now, I'm just putting it plain. And that's just the way it is, too. They wouldn't be caught here. Why? Because they are so high-minded. And I'm talking about preachers. And I'm talking about preachers with doctorate degrees. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against a doctor's degree if it's used in the right purpose. But when it's used to boast themselves that they're so great in this world, I'll tell you what, that's exactly what Paul says now. Now, here's something else. What do you know that you didn't receive? What do I know that I didn't get from right here? What do I know that I didn't get right here? But you know, some people think they've got something nobody else has got. No. And that's one mistake a young preacher makes. And don't misunderstand me. He makes it. He wants to preach something and get something that nobody's ever preached. And anytime he does, he's going to preach error. You just mark it down. You just mark it down. Oh, I want to preach something. Nobody. And I've heard people say, oh, I didn't get my lesson from nobody. I just got mine myself. Whoop. That's like me saying, well, didn't nobody teach me nothing when I was born. I just learned it myself. No, I've been taught ever since I was old enough to know anything. And I'm still being taught along. Yes, sir. I'm still being taught along. So what? What do you got that somebody else hadn't got? And some people, they won't act. Yes, I believe we've got the truth. But we don't want to be arrogant about it. We don't want to do that. But at the same time, we want to realize that everybody also can have that same truth. So they were really high-minded. They thought they were better than everybody else. Okay, let's go next. Chapter 5. Fornication was in the church of Corinth. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife? And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. What'd they have? Had fornication in the church? Have we had any fornication in the church? Have we? I'll tell you what, we don't uphold it. We don't tolerate it, and we condemn it. Yes, sir. But you know what? Under the old law, a man could not be married to his stepmother. And Paul says when they do it, it's wrong. What were they doing? They were just going along glorying like nothing was wrong. I think that's all I need to say about fornication. It's just wrong, period, unless you're married, period. That's it. Next. Going to law. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 1. Dare any of you, having matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Now he's talking about back like maybe what over property, over different things of that nature. Verse 4. If then you have judgments of the things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. What? I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. I don't know if that happened very much in our brotherhood, but no doubt it probably has, and no doubt it probably would. But the Bible teaches us, if a man takes our coat, give him the cloak also. In other words, don't seek revenge. Now, I know there would be times that a person has to defend himself. I know that. And I don't believe that in that case it would be wrong. But as far as brother and brother that he's talking about here, over those things, going to law one with another, I just don't think we ought to. Why? Just settle it with people in the church. That's one thing that I think we lack and may lack in this congregation. Sometimes people have feelings one against the other. I don't know of any here. But how many times do you go to one of us older? I believe I can help you, young boys and girls. I believe I can help you, young married couple. And I believe me and my wife can help you because of those years of experience we have. We have other brethren here. I'm not the only one. Don't misunderstand me at all. We've got some older men here, and they know the ropes. They've been there. And I'll tell you what, they can save you a lot of trouble. And I've saved people a lot of trouble over the years because they listened to me. And I've had people in their later years said, I'm so glad that we listened to what you taught us. Said, at the time, we thought you were just an old one of those hardheads and one of those fanatics and so forth. But sure enough, you knew what she's talking about. I thought about this last night. We had a gathering. They were observing for us, the fathers. And I was the oldest father there. I had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I had son-in-laws that were fathers, and it was just really touching to me to think about that. And what hurts me so bad, I could still tell all of them some things that would really help them if they just listened to me. But no, no. I could teach them some things if they'd listen to me. And I will if they'll listen. And some of them will listen to me, but some of them won't. Because I just don't know. Yes, I know. Well, I think probably maybe, I know there are some of them come around and really realize I know what I'm talking about. And Frances knows what she's talking about. We try to be a good mother and father. We try to be good grandparents and good great-grandparents. But we can't give up the truth to do that. So, are we able to judge? Yes, I think we can judge. Don't misunderstand. We don't know it all. We make mistakes. But you see what I'm talking about? So, younger people, I love you. Don't you get this? I love you as my brother and sister in Christ as much as I love them. If you come to me, I'd give you to the best of my ability what this book teaches you and what it teaches me that I might help you. So, just don't go to law. Just come first. And it could be settled. Okay, let's go on. He tells us about a weaker brother. Don't you feel like we have some weaker brothers? I don't know who they are, maybe. But here's what he says about them. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours. Now, I talk about the liberties at. If you want to eat beef steak, eat it. If you don't want to, don't. If you want to eat meat offered to idols, if you don't eat it for that purpose, go ahead. If you don't, don't. But he said, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. I want to tell you something. If a brother's weak and something offends him, that causes him to sin. If we go ahead and do it, and I'm sorry to say, years ago, one of the preachers, he was very popular and a very good preacher and everything. He told me he'd do what he wanted to. He didn't care what people thought. I told him, and I was just a young fellow, I said, you're wrong. Brother, I'm talking about back in the 50s when he told me that. He was wrong. I knew it then. I'm not to do anything. Now, there are some things that I do not think is wrong, but I don't engage in them because I have brethren that do think they're wrong, and I'm not going to give them occasion to be offended. I can do that if they'll save their soul. Yes, sir. We're not just living for ourselves. We're living for other people. We in the church, we're living for our brethren. We're living for our sisters, and we're living that. So people say, oh, that's my liberty. They have no right to interfere with my liberty. Now, there's a difference in offending them, just making them mad. Now, there's a difference in that. I'm talking about when it causes them to sin, not when it just makes them mad. I'm not talking about that, but when it does. So what? I just won't do it. I'll help that weaker brother. So we that are stronger want to bear the infirmities of the weak and so forth. Well, let's go again. Flee idolatry. Wherefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10 and 14. Now, follow me closely. Sin must not be dallied with, but shunned. We should avoid all that approaches the confines of sin and keep at distance from everything which excites evil passions or which excites to ensnare the soul. I got a firecracker, baby giant we used to call him. I just strike a match. Put it on that. What if I just kept, I'm going to see how long I can hold that before it goes off. You know what I'm doing? I'm dialing with something that's going to be dangerous. And I'll tell you what, if that thing goes off my hand, I've got a problem. We didn't have anything lighting with but old match. And we'd strike that match, we'd put on our, woo! Yes, sir. And that's what we're doing. And that's exactly what you do when you dally with sin. When you dally with things that's wrong and so forth. And that wasn't part of my sermon there. flee that idolatry and so forth. Okay, I got my backup here if that don't work. 1 Corinthians 10 and 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, I want you to get that. Here are people that's come out of Egyptian bondage. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've come over into the land of Canaan. 600,000 of them, over 20 years old. And you know what? They were lost. They were lost. Why? They disobeyed God. Two, Joshua and Caleb entered Canaan's land. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that something? That was Christians, folks. That was God's people that were lost there. And I hope he can get that going here in a moment. If he can't, well, we'll do the best we can, because what I'm coming upon now is going to be the one, a few of them that I really wanted to get over this morning. I'll read these scriptures and we'll go right on with the lesson. In 1 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, and verses 3 through 7. Listen real closely. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Paul, what did you write that for? Huh? Paul, what did you write that for? Now, here's what Paul says. A man and a woman are opposite. Follow me closely. Woman, long hair. Man, cut his hair. They'd have the opposite. Woman, long hair, glory. Man, long hair, shame. Wait a minute, Paul. Woman have long hair, glory. Man have long hair, shame. Yeah, that's what he said. Why did he write that to him? Why did he tell him? Follow me now. A man is to have uncut hair. Or rather, a man is not to have uncut hair. A woman is not to shave her head. It was not a shame for one of our brothers to shave his head. That's not a shame. I'll tell you what, if his wife had shaved her head, whoop, would that have been a shame? If all of our men, all of we men, if we let our hair grow from now on and never cut it, and all the women shave their head, there's no difference in shaving and shorning, shorn or shaving, would it be all right? Would it? I challenge you to answer that. Anybody. I challenge anybody to answer that. Would that be all right? You know, I've had people ask me the question, oh, if a woman's hair is going to be long, you've got to tell me how long it's going to be, got to be. No, I don't, because the Bible tells them how long it's got to be. I don't have to tell them, the Bible tells them. Well, the Bible tells them, if she let her hair grow. That's what the Bible tells. And that's how long it's be, it's just as long as it'll grow. But you know, they think they've got me. But I turn right around and I just put it to them. All right, if you tell me then that she don't have to let it grow and she cut some of it off, I want you to take the scripture and tell me when you got to tell her to stop till she shaved her head. Yes, sir. Now, folks, this wasn't put in here to please the world. And the world of wisdom will tell you, oh, my hair is longer than hers, and she don't cut hers, and I trim mine, it's still longer than hers. That's not the question. The question is, and the teaching is to let that hair grow. Now, you look at this, and you study this. Now, if you're going to teach that a woman can cut off some of her hair, you cannot teach against her shaving her head. Because it plainly says here, he says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, it's just as wrong to shorn as it is shave. It's just as wrong. Let her be covered. Let that hair grow. Have long hair. Isn't it something what Church of Corinth needed correcting? Oh, it wasn't just divisions. It wasn't just carnal-minded. It wasn't just high-minded fornication, going to law, weaker brother, flee idolatry, but it was also this. And I'll tell you what, this is just as binding as that other was, just as binding as it was. Well, let's go again. Well, she did it up her. You know what they done? They corrupted this right over here. They corrupted this. Did they put in individual cups? No. Because they didn't have them. In a debate one time, the fellow used individual cups, asked our preacher the question, said it was a cup of devils without individual cups? No. Because they didn't even have them. It wasn't even invented back then. But see, it's trying to throw a little trap there. But you know what it was? Let's turn over here and read it. Beginning with verse 17. Now this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be division among you, and I partly believe it. Now what was those divisions? For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, what he's meaning is that was not the purpose that you come together. You come together in the wrong purpose. You didn't have that in your mind. Why? For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, or shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Come together, eat the Lord's Supper, had their common meal. They'd eat before the worship, evidently, and they'd separate, or even after, get off in their cliques, not having anything to do with each other. I'm thankful we don't do that. I'm thankful we don't have that. But they did. And I'll tell you what, you might have some churches where people would do that. You might have people that think they're too good. You might, I don't know. But I'll tell you, if you do, it's wrong. And so what do? They just corrupted the Lord's Supper. They weren't in the proper frame of mind. I want to tell you something. When we come to here this morning, we're to be of the same mind, the same judgment. We're to be thinking the same things. And just a few moments, as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup containing that fruit of the vine, our minds are be on those things that are spiritual. Yes, sir. Be on those things. Well, it's something else he wanted corrected. I keep looking. Habits, you know, is a great, great thing. You know what he told women to do? He told them keep silent. He told them keep silent. 1 Corinthians 14, 34, or 33 through 35. Listen closely. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. That's everywhere. God is not the author of confusion. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted on them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let their master husband home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Folks, I can't make that no plainer. I can't make that no plainer. What'd Paul say? He said for those women to keep silent. Now, first question sometimes people ask, well, she can't sing. Yes, we're commanded to sing as a group, as a church. And she's commanded to sing and make melody in her heart, the church, because she's a part of that body. But while we sung, that's different from me up here teaching. All right, you know what man done several years ago? Listen to me closely. I know what I'm talking about. In order that women could teach, they started having their Sunday school classes. Yes, sir. And they put women over that. A lot of them won't put them over the men. Anywhere a woman can teach, she can teach a man. And if she can teach a Sunday school class, she can teach a man's class. Yes, sir. She can do that. A lot of them used to. They'd come together. They'd come to the house in the church building. Then they'd divide, go into classes. We pressed them where you get that authority. In a debate today, they won't put that. I haven't had anybody put that argument up to them in a long time. They resolved that. They said just go straight to the classroom. But the church is still doing it. Still doing it. Still the same thing. And I'll tell you, it's coming today. You listening to me? That there will be digressive, if we call them churches of Christ, that will have women pulpit ministers. I've heard of one in El Paso, Texas, that has a woman minister. I know of some that have ministers, women, not as a pulpit minister, but they do occasionally would talk. Watch it. It's coming. Bible says it'll depart further and further from the truth. What Paul said, just let them keep silence. You know what Paul said now? Follow me, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. All people said, oh, Paul, he was a single fella and he had been for women and blah, 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 blah. You know what? He said, if you think something different, you just remember what I'm telling you is commandments of the Lord. I don't want you to know these things we pointed out to you this morning, commandments of the Lord. That's not my commandments. That's commandments of the Lord. Yes, sir. So if a man thinks himself to be spiritual, let him do that. One more. Chapter 15 and verses 12 through 14. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? How do you say that? If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how can you say there's no resurrection dead? But if there be no resurrection dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, Christ is risen. Some of those people say his disciples come. They stole him away. Some says he's gone somewhere and hid. We don't know where he's at. I want to tell you something, folks. If Christ is not risen, he's not right now at the right hand of God. What we've done already has been in vain, and this right here will be in vain, because that's this right here, it's all about that right there. Our coming together this morning is right there. It's all about that. That's that Christ is resurrected at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Now, one more scripture, if I can put my mind on it, and we'll extend the invitation. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 4:17. 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, what Paul said. For this cause have I sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you in remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I wonder how many places I could preach this morning, and I'd been welcome to, if I'd told them before I was going to preach. If I'd have said, here's what I'm going to preach tomorrow, would he let me? I wonder how many let me preach it. I wonder if they'd let me preach that across the street there. I wonder down here at this big one down here on 2nd Street and one just past it. I wonder if they'd let me preach that this morning. Did I preach Bible this morning? Now, under the church of God, which be at Edmund, Paul said. I don't know of any of these that we're just really right guilty of, but it's a warning. Paul said, I'll warn you. And so that's a purpose for our young people, because you're lambasted with it every day. Everywhere people talk about, oh, you think you're the only ones right. You think this. No, we just believe what the Bible says. If you've disobeyed any of these publicly, you'd like to make it right, we'll be glad to. If you feel you make it public by yourself, fine. But ever what? The main thing is to do what the Bible says. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. That's all we have to offer you is the Bible, Word of God. And each time you come, I'm proud of our teachers. Most of them, most of the time, they get up here and use scriptures I have this morning, and I'm thankful for that. And we have some good lessons. And so we invite you to come and worship the Lord. If you've heard the gospel, whosoever heareth these may and mind doeth them, like him the wise man builds house upon a rock. You've got to hear the word of God. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've got to have faith. We can't keep living like we have. We've got to change our lives. We've got to repent. And he tells us that, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Other scriptures. We're to make that good confession. Ethiopian eunuch. He was riding along there. Didn't understand what he's reading. Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I except some man should guide me? He began the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. When he preached to him Jesus, he preached to him, no doubt, the plan of salvation. Because after a while, here they come to a certain water. He said, see, here's water. What hinder me be baptized? If thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, commanded that chariot to stand still. Both Philip and eunuch went down that water. He took that eunuch. He immersed him in that water. He baptized. They come up out of that water. They come out. And Philip here, this eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. Why? Those past sins were forgiven. He was a new creature, no longer lost, a child of God. You can do that today. Or, if you'd like to make things right, we're going to stand and sing. We invite you to come. While we stand, while we sing.